And welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers this Saturday morning. And we've got the men on the line. Good morning, men. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
Well, Tim, why don't you start us off with a word of prayer this morning?
Sure thing. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we just thank you for another day and another opportunity to serve you in this land that you've given your people in. Lord, where despite what the words of man may say, Lord, we ask you to come and be our God and to rule over us and to that we would live under your ways and under your plans and your purposes. Lord, I pray a blessing upon your people all across this land that you would guide, guard, and protect them, Lord, and lift them up and prosper them in every one of their endeavors, and that it would be according to your plan and purpose. Lord, I pray you would grant us the words to say today that would be encouraging, edifying. And Lord, we just pray that you would continue to show your great and glorious power in these situations that are all about us. We ask all this in Christ's holy and precious name. And Lord, we just pray you would fill the hedge around our families, Lord, as well. And Lord, that you would protect us and keep us and guide and direct us. In Christ's holy and precious name we pray. Amen.
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 Well, gentlemen, what's on your minds this morning? Anything you want to start off with?
Go ahead, Paul.
No, I don't know. Not really. Let's see what happens.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that's been on my mind is this. I don't know if anybody's been following what's been happening over there in Kenosha, but it is, you know, this 17-year-old kid just got, they're trying him as an adult for, basically, from everything that I've seen, it looks like he was defending himself. They got him arrested, got him thrown into the detention center, and, you know, he shot two of these people who had been you know, one of the people that he shot was a registered sex offender. They were attacking him, trying to kill him. And, you know, even just, and then you look at what is going on as far as even the, you know, GoFundMe. You know, GoFundMe's got, they've got accounts set up for both of the people that were shot in the incident. And they've taken his account down. And, it was, I know somebody that that contacted him and asked him, you know, why did you take this this kid's GoFundMe down? Is it based on race? Is it because he's white? Is it based on that he's a minor? It's like, who gives you the ability to decide who can have an account and who can't when they still got the account set up for the two blacks that... That we're attacking this kid. And, you know, you talk about just, chaos. It's just, it's just absolutely amazing. Tim, I know you got some information on that. Why don't you tell us what you know about it?
Well, the sum up of it is that, you know, he's walking down the street and of course they're attacking him, and if you watch any of these videos or talk to any of these people that are going on, why, you're going to continue to see that happen. I mean, they are randomly attacking various citizens, and the more, it's kind of interesting to me because the younger you look or the more vulnerable you look, the more likely they are to attack. I mean, we're seeing them attack women, we're seeing them attack children. And, you know, the video is pretty clear and cut and dried, which, by the way, that video was taken, as I understood it, by BLM videographers. But he was hit in the back of the head with a skateboard, knocked down, and they were doing that pretty much as a last resort. You know, he defended himself with lethal force. And, just the fact that he was disoriented from being hit in the back of the head with a skateboard is enough to, the whole thing's ridiculous. I mean, any prosecuting attorney or county or state attorney general that would prosecute this situation is obviously aligning themselves with the side of anarchy and ungodliness, and there is no such thing as a less than lethal option when you point a gun at somebody and shoot them. But also, when you're attacked by four or five people, that's not a less than lethal attack either, and they got you down on the ground and they're stomping a hole in you. So, we're going to see this go on a lot more as these things continue to escalate. And it's just one of those things. I mean, and we're sure seeing how these prosecuting attorneys and attorney generals and stuff are aligning themselves with these. I mean, whether we're talking about the deal over there in, St. Louis, or whether we're talking about here in Kenosha, or whether we're talking about, parts of California or Washington, there's a definite polarization of things going on. And, they suspended that. Now, he did also get Lynn Wood. He was that attorney who represented Covington Catholic Nick Sandman in those lawsuits. He offered to help Kyle Rittenhouse for free on Thursday morning after his defense fund was done. I don't know whether that help has been accepted or not, but Democratic Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley, she smeared Rittenhouse out there as a white supremacist domestic terrorist, which is what, I don't know. Sounds like the pot calling the kettle black, or it's not, though, because he's not. He wasn't a domestic terrorist. He was trying to help defend people's property and everything else. So, anyways, he's interested. Lynn Wood is interested in working with him for free. And I think, if I recollect correctly, that he had up to $50,000 in his defense fund, in his GoFundMe fund. I don't know whether that'll be released to him, but, what are they going to do with that? So,
yeah, that'll be interesting to see what happens there.
But, there's a lot of that going on.
Well, and then they came out, and so this all started over this Jacob Blake shooting, who was shot 7 times in the back by police officers, who had a rap sheet a mile long, had been charged how many times with assault. They had tasered him twice, couldn't take him down, and he gets away after being tasered twice, was on drugs, and then in his car, and reaching for something. I don't know if it was a gun or not. They're covering up so much stuff right now, you just don't even know. But then you get the mayors and the governors coming out and saying that, oh, this is just outrage and we need to stop this police brutality. And you can see what's going on there. It's all part of their agenda to get these people to riot, get them riled up. And I guess you can't even call it rioting anymore. You can't even call it protesting anymore, because protesting is supposedly racist. And then with this, this Kyle Rittenhouse, they started making a big deal about, he might have, they arrested him in Antioch, Illinois, and they tried to make a big deal out of him. He transported a firearm across state lines. Well, he didn't. The weapon that he used never left the state of Wisconsin and was from Wisconsin when he got it from a friend of his that was also part of. They're saying it's a militia group, but it was, basically a protection group is what it was. It's just, what they're trying to charge him with is basically going to give him a life in prison sentence.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the whole thing it amazes me that they can do all the things that they're doing, these revolutionist, BLM guys, that they can drag people out of cars and beat them and beat them to death, literally, and destroy property. And when someone attempts to prevent that, why, they're the bad guy. They're the evil, heinous person. And by their very nature and with what's going on, the fact that law enforcement or that other things aren't allowed or able to do their job, they're requiring this response from citizenry. And at the end of the day, I was just reading some stuff last night, and they're working on, I know in Tennessee, for example, they want to pass more rules that say that the governor can't use the police for, unconstitutional enforcement measures. Well, another rule at the Tennessee state level that regards that would be passed, does no good. The rules are already in effect. The God's laws are already there. We've wrote it down as already being there. Hey, this isn't allowed. You can't do that. When good men no longer have good consciences or good Christian morals, they do things that they shouldn't do. And when that happens, the only response for that is the root enforcement for all of those kind of ills becomes the citizenry eventually. You have no other option, because the system doesn't work anymore. So you can pass all the rules you want and try to say, hey, see, it says right here that they can't do that. They already know they can't, So that puts you right back to where we are with situations just like Kyle Rittenhouse and a lot of the other guys that are going out there. So, that's where we're at.
Well, I think that's part of the problem. There was law before the Constitution, too. People are going back to the Constitution, but they got to go back to the people that wrote it and why they wrote it. It was to bridle government and stuff like that is what it was all about. But, see, you got to go back to the real law. I know in the book From Sea to Signing Sea, I think it was Chuck Penny, he was going to law school, and they kept referring back to the Bible in law school. Well, he had to dig into the Bible. Well, he became one of the greatest evangelists on the face of this earth because he went back to the Bible, and that's what he did. And see, this is, we've left God's law, period, because there is no law. Even if you just use a constitution in court, you just one opinion against another. It isn't deep enough. Black Lives Matter. Well, I think somewhere it says thou shalt not kill. Now, that takes care of everything. Now, there is a time to kill, there's a time to subdue, but that's what this Black Lives Matter. Well, what about the yellow and the red and the white? There's it's everybody. And that thou shalt not kill covers that. And see, we've left God, and that's what our issue is, and then we have hell to pay at the moment.
Amen. Yeah, and we're seeing it on so many different fronts, too. Go ahead, Tim.
Well, we have so many things going on all the way across the country, and I'm amazed that we see this kind of stuff going on, and of course it's huge. And I agree 100% with what Paul said. When you leave God, you have no morality any longer. I mean, that's the bottom line. All morality and all decency is rooted in Christian concept, in the power of what God said. Basically in the Ten Commandments. That's why they put them on the buildings. That was the authorization that was the deeper power, the deeper authority that was granted to those. And that's the issue to some degree of what we see going on out here right now is, of course, they want you to support this and they want you to support that, but they want us to throw all our support behind it without any godly authority behind it. And that's a dangerous thing too. We've got to have a scriptural and a godly balance in those things for them to be supportable by godly people. It's one of those things. Whatsoever is just, whatsoever is, the Bible gives us a whole list of things that you want support. Those are the things that allow us to support you and to support that and allows that decency. And that's where we're at in the midst of all this mire that we see going on all around us. There's this decision that has to be made in the hearts of men. Will they serve God, or will they serve this tyranny and descent into oblivion that's being presented in one way or another? So, it's really and truly as narrow is the path that leads to God's kingdom when you look at it.
Well, democracies always go down violently. You know, that's gone down through history forever. Democracies, see, a democracy is mob rule, in which 51% of the people make the rules. The trouble with that is 51% of the people can be wrong. See, America was founded as a republic. We keep shoving that democracy thing down our throat, but that's not what America was founded at. It was a republic, which is a country of law. But you don't know anybody on the street just about that knows that, the difference between a republic and a democracy. But democracies always go down violently, and you're watching it.
Yeah. Yeah, and we see, I mean, there's so many things right now. You talk about food plants being shut down in California yesterday. The U.S. North American Aerospace Defense Command, NORAD, deployed F-22 fighter jets to intercept three groups of two Russians, Tu-142 Russian maritime reconnaissance and patrol aircraft flying towards Alaskan air defense. And they were intercepted and run off. And that's been happening on actually a frequent basis right now. And, boy, you can tell that, you know, Russia's pushing their limits and just, you know, seeing how far they can go. A lot of interesting stuff going on.
Well, they're coming one of these days. You know, I don't know when it's going to happen, but they're coming, you know. That book, I don't know, the guy gave two sermons in front of Congress in 1850-something, and one of his things said that all the nations will come against us, and everybody thinks they're going over there in the Middle East, but they're not. They're coming here. And he explained the Eastern Sea and the Western Sea. It can't be there. It's got to be here. But he said even, like, Britain will jump in with them and attack us because they're so mad about the Revolutionary War, I guess. But it's an interesting sermon. It's kind of a hard read. I gave it to one guy, he's wading through it, but he's the only guy that I give it to other people. They just gave it right back to me. They want nothing to do with it. So, but that book, it was 1850-something, was right on. And that's the Valley of Dry Bones, and they're coming to get us. So, but that's a good thing. The most encouraging thing to me out of that Ezekiel 37, 38, 39 in there is, it says, and then Israel will know who I am once and for all. Ain't that encouraging?
Yeah. It is.
You know. But, yeah, they're coming. And you see, the whole economy screwed. You know, you shut China's lifeblood off, you know, and they're hungry. The rest of the world is hungry. It's just chaotic wherever you look. You know, you don't hear nothing on the news except about COVID and all the other crap, you know. But what's going on in the world, you know, I only can imagine. But it ain't good. I mean, it is and it ain't. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, you know, it always interests me that probably, you know, they took South Africa and we see what happened there. They took Venezuela and we see what happened there. I mean, they take all these, prosperous countries like that, and then they're done with them. They're wrung out. And they move on to the next. I mean, it reminds you of the locust of Dole. I mean, it just goes on, and it's like, you don't want to build anything. You just want to use it, you know, and use it up when it's gone and move on to the next thing. I mean, and they use every vehicle you can imagine that way. I mean, one of the things that's going on right now, too, that interests me is all of this child and people trafficking thing, you know, and how much of that is being brought to light. And it's like the beating of the drum. And it's interesting that they beat those drums, this BLM movement. The beating of the drum on that is bringing about, you know, it's like it obscures a lot of the other things that are going on that are major sin going on there. And it's also interesting to me that a lot of these children that are trafficked and the things I'm seeing in that, you know, they're being trafficked for sex or being trafficked for organs or being trafficked for slaves. But, a huge percentage of them are white kids. I mean, they want to talk about Black Lives Matter. They want to talk about this and that. And they want to talk about how they were slaves and reparations, but yet they have this gone. Nobody points that out, and it's glaringly obvious. That's been going on for a long time. So, very inconvenient truth. So.
Yeah, it is. And the phone lines to call in this morning is 970-224-4203. That's 970-224-4203. Yeah, there's so many different things that are going on, and you know, at the same time, it's like one thing that I've noticed is there's people waking up, that's for sure. I mean, gun sales at their highest. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that you can't even get anymore. Even the liberals are coming out and trying to buy their guns and trying to buy their ammo. And these people that are, I mean, diehard Democrat liberals are, you know, coming out trying to buy stuff. It's actually it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder how many of them are going to end up cheating themselves in the foot or something, literally.
Yeah. They're, what do you see in the, anything in the, agriculture side of things, Paul? What are you seeing in as far as that stuff's concerned?
I really can't tell you. There's not a lot of enthusiasm, but a farmer will work under extremely adverse conditions. You know, just keep going. But the markets aren't strong. It's just in a survival mode. I see very little enthusiasm from the people that are doing it, but they're still doing it, if you know what I mean. But then you look at these fields, some of these fields are just beautiful. You look at them, soybeans and corn, or weed one in them, but they're all round up ready. I told this guy, I mean, he had a beautiful corn. I said, yeah, that looks really good. I said, but I said, do you know one family that don't have cancer? He said, no. I said, well, that's what the problem of that field is. And that's our food. Our food is not good. So, yeah, I don't know. Every powerful country in the world is an agricultural country, and when that's in trouble, everybody's in trouble. So I can't, that kind of gives you an overall view of what's American at, because, you know, a couple of years ago when I come out to you, stop and see you, Jason, you know, we go through Iowa and Nebraska, and fields are just gorgeous, you know. Yep. And there was one field that had some weeds in, so that's not Roundup ready, you know. But that was one out of how many miles, you know. And this is what's the matter with us. Our land does not have the Sabbath. Our food is not blessed. This whole thing is cursed by God, and this is what we're dealing with. The only way to get it back is repent.
Yeah.
National scale.
I can. Yeah, exactly. And what, you know, how far are people going to have to be brought down before they do repent and do cry out to God and ask God to save them? That's the question.
Well, Greg, gravity's on our side. They are coming down.
What else do you see going on in the world, Jim?
Well, there's a lot of talk about the vaccine concerning COVID. You know, they want to, this mandatory vaccination business. And we all know, I think that's a real, one point in saying, the polarization that's going on with the public over this is, depending on where you stand on the issue, I'm sure it's terrifying or encouraging. You know, if you're, I think it's really and truly uniquely interesting to see people fire up on that, because there was a lot of time there where I wondered if you used to talk about vaccinations, that well, we talked about them on this show for years, you know, and we put out a lot of information. We, you know, you can see a lot of the people are genuinely really, really concerned about that, at least around here. It's absolutely totally the opposite as far as everybody thinking it's a good idea. Here, you might run into one out of ten, in my, at least my officially unofficial poll. But, you know, most of the people are not happy about it. They're not interested in that. I mean, if they want to, fine, but they don't think it should be forced on everyone. And actually, according to the statistics by the CDC and everybody else, it's peaked and it's now, you know, sliding. The numbers are going down, of course, just in time for regular flu season. But, you know, it's this is another issue that we've got up and facing. Of course, we know it's not good. I mean, I like the article. I think you posted it on the news site there. But Bill Gates was saying, well, the whole problem with COVID-19 over here was we just had too much freedom. We need to get rid of that. So he's going to be like a mouthpiece of the devil. So it's kind of one of those things when you see that. But I'm seeing a lot of other things go on that interest me. Like there was a big ruling by the judge against the EPA, you know, on fluoridation of drinking water, and he told them to go work it out together. And that's coming to an end now, and he's basically saying, hey, get it worked out, or we're going to work it out, because the EPA hasn't maintained a reasonable amount of protecting citizens over the toxicity of fluoridation. And this is, you know, it's a landmark case, which, of course, we're not hearing anything about it, and that happened in August. So it kind of sounds like fluoridation is on the ropes, you know, but again, we've got this massive push on all this other stuff, and it kind of obscures those things. So there's a lot of other things going on that out there behind the scenes that are important as well.
Yeah, there is. I mean, you know, there's things, the whole system's cracking, it's turning on itself, you know, the EPA, in fact, you know, like, so I'm a dumb citizen, you know, I'm sitting back here, well, they're looking out for me, I just go out living about my merry old way, but, you know, we've all looked into side effects of that stuff over the years, and they haven't, and see, the trouble is, we have left our God for him to look out for us. They don't know. They've left their God. He's got rules for dietary thing, everything, farming. It's all there. They don't know a thing about it. So, yeah, it's, you know, I got a story I had this week. I got a customer up north, and he's got just an immaculate little, I don't know what you want to call it. He's got a little restaurant. He's got a shop in it. He's got a playground, all that. I mean, it's immaculate. He's got a sign on the door. He says, well, this mask thing is not law. If you want to wear a mask, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine. You're welcome. Well, anyway, you know, some people start turning them in to the locals, and the locals come, and, you know, they got to do this thing, and they actually say, you know, Richard, do something, like you're trying to comply. And so he says, no, I won't. He says, that's it. You know, and he just stood his ground, and well, then the state got involved, and they're going to look at it, pulling his license. So, anyway, he filed a suit against the state, which put that on hold, so he's still operating. But it's really setting him back. So last Sunday, this record eagle out of Traverse City ran an article on him. And apparently his dad immigrated, I think, from Germany, but I'm not sure what country. And they're very prosperous, you know what I mean? He ran for something. He was in government one session, but he just wasn't a politician, so he didn't fit what it amounted to. And I never met him, but I know his kid. And anyway, they came out with this thing. They went back and tied him to David Duke and all the white supremacy, and he ain't got a clue what that's about, you know. But they tied him just to slam him, you know. Well, crap hit the fan, you know. He had people that bought apples from him or whatever, fruit from him, for over 40 years. And they called him off, said, well, we're not going to, you know, I'm done with you. We're done, you know. But then his business has just skyrocketed. He's just beside himself at the moment. But anyway, his business has skyrocketed. I said, now, Richard, stand back. You just look what just happened. You know, you got business you never had before. But now he's got apples he sells to some place, and they call him up. The majority of his apples go to this place. They say, well, we just taken so much heat, we can't buy from you no more. And he's really down about that, because that's where the majority of his fruit goes. But anyway, I said, Richard, you sit back, you let God sell that crop for you. You just look at what's going on before your very eyes. The trouble is, you just want to maintain the system you're in, but it's changing. And if you look at what just happened to you, it's happening fine, you know. But see, that's what happens when we want to maintain our own ways. We're, you know, get really despondent because we're so, well, we want to stay in our comfort zone. Well, we're not in our comfort zone. We're going across that Red Sea. But anyway, I was excited about the story. He's just trying to keep a smile on his face, but I was excited. And, you know, I said, you just go on, Richard, you know. So I have to encourage this guy because it's really neat what's happening to him. He just don't know it.
Oh, man, that's awesome. Hey, that'll make it better. It'll be better than before, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I stopped that little thing there. It was just packed, you know. Didn't hurt him at all. But
that's awesome.
It is. It's really neat. This is what's happening. He says, I know it's a spiritual word. He's a good old Baptist, you know, but you got to get out of there. But anyway, that's the next week. But you see, I've been in three different religious organizations. There was always a few good people there. You know, they just were stupid. You know, not maliciously stupid. They just had a good heart and didn't know any better. So, and he's one of them.
Yep. Best they could do at the moment, they thought. So.
Yeah. But see, what's going to happen, we're being tested to what we really believe is what's coming down, I think.
Yes. Yeah. It's a testing, right? And that's what God said he would test. And he does that. I mean, yeah, we see all that. There's a lot of things going on that way.
Yeah, it is. It's perfection. Getting rid of the dross. Yep. No, this is pretty exciting times if you got eyes to see. But if you want to maintain Babylon, then you got a little problem. So.
Well, and that's where a lot of people are at, too. They just want things, they want to hold on to Babylon, and they want to get things back just the way that they were, and they had a problem with it before. And, you know, clinging to Babylon, that's what a lot of them are doing.
Well, I think some days I wouldn't mind going back to good old ways, but I can't, so I just might as well smile.
Yeah.
No, it was so much easier, you know. It's not fun being corrected by God, always, but it is good.
Yeah,
it's definitely
is.
Good for us.
You guys keep talking. I'll be back in just a sec.
Well, and we're seeing that all across the land. I mean, and that's another thing, just like that story you were talking about, Paul. I mean, so many of us think you have somebody come in with this big contract or something, and they take all your stuff, and it's like, wow, that's just great. But the truth of the matter is when you lose them, you've lost everything, you know? And God's way is you pay patch your stand with all these individual people. If you lose one, two more bring up to take the place, it's still all gone. But you've got so much more flexibility, you know. And I mean, it's that way on an even grander scale out all across God's land. I mean, you know, that you don't have all that power and authority with some group that just suddenly decides, well, we don't want your stuff anymore. You know, I'm always reminded of Pastor Pete told the story about, like, I think it was Die Hard Batteries, you know, and the guy who started that. You know, they came in and started buying all the batteries he was making. Well, then they canceled the contract, and he went broke, and then they bought the company from him for, you know, pennies on the dollar. And before, he'd been selling to all these little places. Well, that's the way, that's one of those hammers they use all the time, you know. And unfortunately, we think it might be a good thing if you just kind of think that. I think the more you get into it, the more depth you get into it, you suddenly realize that, the old saying, you know, don't have all your eggs in one basket, you know, type thing is a lot more conducive to survivability and to blessing and all of that. So, God's way of doing things, I think.
Well, you know, what I do, I always took care of the little guy. And if you bought just a few dollars or nothing, I always took care of those people. And all these salesmen today, all want the big sale. you know, you get the big sale. You know, we had a tree service and worked for these corporations. Well, you're in there doing a lot of work in one day, so they get a new manager, and then you're out just like that. I mean, you know, the hair rut that feeds the big oak, you know, that's that little guy on the bottom of the pile. And when you take care of them, everything else works good. But this big corporate farming stuff is headed for the pits.
Yeah.
So, write it on the wall.
Well, and the other thing about multiple people like that doing stuff is you get free advertising. They talk to their friends talk to their friends, you know, and when you do the one-point thing and you're trying to grow it, well, you got to buy advertising. I mean, you know, and pay big dollars for it. It's like, and word of mouth is priceless. I mean, it's, you know, it's way better. You get a review and an advertising.
There's a transition going on in America now. These little farmers that bring in their produce and stuff are just busier than busy. You know, there's a huge transition going on in this country right before our eyes, but nobody sees it. You know, just like this Amazon destroying all these local businesses and stuff. You know, I wouldn't buy nothing from them because he's nothing but destructive. That whole system, the corporate thing, you know, they're just destroying little small restaurants around here for the chains. They're doing fine. It's different, but it's
right.
The little guy can't hardly hang on no more. I mean, but on the other hand, that little guy is the guy you want to deal with. He's got hurt.
We're dealing with that here. I mean, I think we've seen that kind of in the beef thing. Jason was talking about some of those things. And the price out there at different spots of that, and that kind of hit here for a little bit. I know ground beef went up around over $7 a pound here, and of course this is an ag economy. You know, I mean, a big town here is 8,000 people or 10,000 people, and people got really irate about it. Well, everybody just started, you know, buying beef direct from the farmer. I mean, it was like, okay, we'll do our own. I mean, there's still a lot of guys here that want make hamburger and make one thing or another. People started going in together. Well, suddenly the grocery store's back down to what, $2, you know, or $3.39 a pound. That was like, we're either going to do that or we're not. We're going to lose it, you know. So there's some more of that. That's the power. And think about what it's done as far as renewing fellowship between people and community involvement and those sort of things. It's an opportunity that we have that hasn't been available for a long, long time. You know?
Have you seen Jason's picture of the sagebrush pasture?
Yes, I have. And it's incredible.
It is. And see, that's what's going on across this country. You know, so we're not to be discouraged. It's just that there are, you know, that guy I was talking to, he said, well, I don't know if it'll ever change in our lifetime. I said, no, stop. Wait a minute. What does the Bible say? Who inherits this earth? And he didn't know. I said, the meek inherit the earth. The wicked are always cut off. You know, God has always done it that way. He cuts the wicked off, but he humbles him first. So.
Absolutely. There's a whole new thing going on if we bother to look. And it's just like we say, you're not alone. God's out there and he's on the move, and there are things going on all across this land that are absolutely amazing. And
yes, it is.
The Bible describes it in birth pangs. So there's going to be some birth pangs along the way as we see this thing go along. I mean, there's going to be some contractions and some pain involved. But what a change to see that and a chance to get involved it's a time to open your mouth up and start talking about maybe who you serve and where the answers are and you know, those kind of things. I mean, the field is, what did the Bible say, white unto harvest. You know, I mean, there's people out there who want to know and want to see what God can do. Even though they may not even know what God is right at the moment.
Right. Do you have any children, Tim?
Yes, six. So.
Now, do you remember when your first child was born?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah.
No. Did you see your wife's face before it was born?
Yes. Yeah. They were all born at home. Seen her. Yes. Seen her.
Did you see your wife's face after it was born?
Yes.
It was a huge change, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. See, that's the birth pangs. That's my point, is that's the birth pangs. You know, when, you know, you go to... a woman goes through that agony, and just like that, she has the biggest smile on her face when she holds that little kid.
Right.
You know, it's just...
That's right. Dad was smiling, too. But, you know, it absolutely... and praise the Lord for... It's an apt description, I think, from what you're saying. It's really way cool. So...
But that's what we have to keep in mind about the birth pain, because when it's over, it'll be joy like we never knew. So,
yes. And blessings, too. I mean, you know, the prize is that new baby boy, baby girl, very precious, really excited to have it, and it's the same way. There's a prize at the end of it all.
Absolutely. That prize Another thing I remember with my first child, I'm going down this highway, and I think, you know, I think about this little girl that I found out that I'm going to have, and this thought just occurred to me. I said, you asked that little girl, do you want to get out? Absolutely not. And once she's out, you want to get back in? Absolutely not. And that's where we're at again, too.
Yeah, exactly. Good point.
Let's go to the phone lines. Hello, caller.
I just want to mention that the word Zeus, people say that that's what Jesus means. And when you look the definition up of Zeus, have y'all ever done that?
No, I don't believe so.
Well, here's what it means. The supreme deity, the God of gods. So I don't really have a problem with Christ taking that name or whatever it is, a title. But he ain't going to let anybody run around here using that but him. That's all I got to say.
All right. Thanks for the call. No, I think that was right on there. Paul, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, we're getting out, and that's what's exciting is you see with stuff that's coming out, stuff that you're dealing with, stuff that we're doing, stuff that we're trying, and we're doing stuff that's unconventional, you know, and that, you know, some people sit there and they laugh at us, you know, mowing sagebrush, planting companion crops, planting this and planting that, but it's a growing movement, and it's the people that have that are our kind of people that are getting into these things. And you look at the offspring of it, and, you know, I mean, I keep thinking about how much healthier, you know, we start taking care of the land, and we have better crops, and we have better animals, and, you know, how much, you know, healthier, you know, people are going to be when they start consuming that kind of food. And, you know, that I don't know if you got a chance to read that last article in Acres magazine, but, you know, talk about the food density value of the food, and it just, I mean, just phenomenal. And, you know, stuff is coming out, and, you know, people are making changes. I was encouraged by, you know, going down to the hardware store here, you know, just locally, and, you know, them being sold out of canning jars and telling me that, you know, they can't get canning jars. They can't get canning lids right now because there's been people all across the country that decided that they were going to learn how to can, and they were going to learn how to do this. And, you know, they were talking about how much healthier it is for you to be doing stuff like that, to grow the gardens. And, you know, the people that put in gardens this year, it's COVID had its pros and cons, but there was a lot of people that are an industrious people, and they went to town, and they weren't going to sit around and be idle. A lot of them weren't. There was a lot of them that were, that's for sure. But you know, for a lot of them, they went home and got to work and put a garden in and put their supplies up and, you know, tried to think what they can do next.
Well, yeah, from what you just said, you know, you think about COVID. You know, I think we kept looking at it as a curse, but you know, it's actually been a blessing. You know, the Bible said, "Blessed are my afflictions." Now, yeah, there ain't nothing we from the life we had a year ago is kind of an upsetting, but on the other hand, is really good. So it's just kind of a matter of perspective.
Yeah, it is.
So.
Yeah, they called. Here's where they called. Go ahead.
There's nothing bad about what's happening right now. You stop and think of it from what we just talked about.
Yeah. Yeah, 94 days, I think it was, now rioting in Portland. Tim, you got an update on that? Oop, did we lose Tim?
Oops, sorry, just a little technical difficulty there. No, I mean, I know that there's still stuff going on there, and there's a lot of accountability, but I haven't really been able to give any clear reports on some of that. But things are still riotous out there, I guess would be the right word. There's still some things going on, but they did pull out the federal troops, and it sounds like now they're kind of crying for them to be back in there. So, because they found out they can't handle that, and I don't really know. That's kind of the last I've heard about it. I just don't have any specifics on it right now. But it's still not a very, a good place to be at the moment. I mean, there's a lot of attacks and a lot of that kind of stuff. But the whole thing leaves me like I think like Colin, you were saying. The whole thing is a good thing. I mean, God's stirring his people up, and it's an interesting thing to see the help that's coming may be the help that you provide yourself, and our country was built on self-sufficiency. I mean, this current set of rules and everything else would have stopped everybody on the westward expansion at the Mississippi River and said, oh, no, you can't go on past here because, there's all kinds of dangerous things out there. There's no food supply lines and no health care facilities and no anything else. But God's people said, move over, California or bust or whatever, and they went on through. I mean, and some made it and some didn't. And it didn't stop any of them because God had it in their hearts to go on through there and settle it. And we're kind of back in that area again. I mean, they're back in that time of stirring up and energizing again, I think. But I think there's all kinds of things going on there.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's like we're in the times of calling good evil and evil good and not calling anything at all. What I was talking about earlier, and here's the article. It says NPR published an article claiming that calling a riot is offensive because it's rooted in racism. The article, written by Jonathan Levinson for Oregon Public Broadcasting, the Portland NPR affiliate in Portland, has experienced 93 days of continuous rioting. Last night was the first time that the entire period that the city has not seen unrest. But according to Levinson, merely calling a spade is a racist dog whistle.
It's bad to call evil evil and good good.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
You can't call it anything.
Got a lot of semantics there and all that stuff. So, Plain speech is frowned on by the workers of iniquity. So they don't like that.
Yeah, it is.
Did anybody follow the Republican National Convention at all?
I did not. Did you at all?
Last night I watched a little bit because I never watched it because I just got to watching it. And some of these testimonies, these people that were supporting, was quite phenomenal. The things that he's done to help him. But I'm just uncertain about the man because, his daughter converted to Judaism and they showed him with a picture with a beanie on his head and stuff. And I'm certain he's God's man for the moment, but the Bible does say, curse the man that trusteth in man. And everybody wants a savior, but we got to go all the way down to Jesus Christ. So he talks about God a lot, but you don't hear the name of Jesus at all. And that's kind of spooky to me. You can talk about God all day long with anybody. Only when you name the name of Jesus, that conversation gets better or worse immediately.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So.
Well, we've only got a few more minutes. Closing thoughts, men?
I just say that what we got to do is just keep on turning to God and just keep on trusting in Him as regards what's going on, because there's a lot of things that, it says that our wisdom will fail us. And I think that that's where we're at. But God provides ways to go forward and to go on and to make things better. So it's just faith on through and keep rolling. That's all I got.
Amen.
Well, the last time we were in Bronson, I told this lady, she come in and she was really down, you know, and I just sensed it. And I said to her, I said, "Now, when you get up in the morning, I want you to say this: I am a child of the Most High God, and this is the day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad." And the whole rest of that thing, there was nothing but a smile on that lady's face. So man, we got to keep that for ourselves, too.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And, folks, we are just about out of time. I want to thank you for joining in this morning. Join us for church tomorrow from the LaPorte Church of Christ. We're going to be streaming live at 10 o'clock tomorrow. And I do encourage you to tune in for that. We're working on the next Dragon Slayer newsletter. Hopefully we'll have that to the presses here early next week sometime. Do want to thank you again for tuning in. Have a good weekend, folks.
Goodbye.
Of God on the European
shores, then rose to flee. You are the last party in the conference.
America, America, is it too late to save you? Will foreign troops invade your soil? Will government enslave you? Will the greatness that was once your crown be trampled in the streets? Oh, America, don't let your name go down in such defeat. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Don't you think it's time now to America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. America, America, once God's word was your standard, how gradually you've compromised. How far you finally wandered, for the years of silent apathy. To God we now repent, for the years of work we might have done, that's already now been spent. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Don't you think time now to remember your great past. America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. Church, its walls will crumble down.
must arise for his kingdom to secure. We know the battle has been won. Yes, the victory is sure. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Now don't you think